You are listening to the audio-only portion of the KoopaCast. To watch the video version, please check out purenintendo.com/KoopaCast. The intro and outro music of our KoopaCast is brought to you by the artist Big Giant Circles, who has composed for projects such as Mass Effect 2, Super Street Fighter 2 HD Remix, and Borderlands 2. Our opening song is Houston, and our closing song is A Rose in the Field, both from the album Glory Days. To listen to more of Big Giant Circles' work, go to music.biggiantcircles.com to see his entire collection of video game remixes and soundtracks. You can also find his collection on iTunes. Again, that website is music.biggiantcircles.com.
Joined by this fine group of guys. I'm going to start off by asking you, what is your favorite car or brand of car? That'd be maybe one car. We'll start with the person on the left, which is Alex.
Oh, man. What if I don't have a favorite brand of car?
Motorcycle. Dirt bike.
I like Sea-Doos. Those are pretty fun.
Ooh.
Go-karts, too.
Next.
So just the brand, not the model?
Oh, you need a model if you want.
I don't know. Pretty much every BMW. Maybe I'll say an M5 BMW.
And mine's kind of like that Mini Cooper. I think that's a slick car.
Mine would probably be the Ferrari 458 Italia. That's a pretty nice one. The Pagani Huayra, that's a good one. I like all sorts of supercars. So. In Need for Speed, they've got a ton of them, so pretty much any of them in Need for Speed.
I have a question about that. Is this the first Need for Speed that had actual cars? When did they start having...
Oh, for the last traffic, you mean?
Well, I mean, no, actual, like, brand cars.
No, they've had actual brand cars for a long time.
See, it's been in a while. Need for Speed.
Yeah, because the first most wanted, the one on the that I had on the GameCube, they had BMWs. Like the M5 was on the cover, or was it M3, Eli?
It was M3.
M3. So, yeah, it had real cars then.
I guess I may be thinking of Midnight Club.
Yeah, Midnight Club had
fake cars.
Fake cars, and same thing with GTA. Grand Theft Auto games always have fake games, but Need for Speed has always had real cars. They've had long-standing licenses with car companies. There was actually a really cool Need for Speed called Porsche Unleashed, where they did like all the Porsches for the last 50 years or something. That was pretty fun. A little boring, but fun.
Everyone's racing a Porsche.
Yeah.
So how could that be boring?
Yeah. Well, like some of the 60s, it was more like a racing sim. So it was just like, here's what the handling was like in a, 60s Porsche, and it like handles like a boat, So it's like, oh, it's not very fast.
Or like a Volkswagen Beetle.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, now going through the news real quick. A lot of the big news came out today, more than the last 2 weeks. We have, first one I see here is Splinter Cell Blacklist has been confirmed for the Wii U.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Third party support.
Yeah. Getting it.
The Rayman Legends demo comes out April.
They said late April, or did they set a date?
I thought it was a date. That's why
I think they just said late April.
It doesn't say late April.
So maybe it's like the last weekend, like last Thursday or something for the Nintendo download, maybe?
Probably.
I can't wait for that. I mean, I'm still bummed about the delay, but I'm excited for the game, so.
I am too. I'll be looking forward to playing the demo.
Yeah.
Is four new levels? Has an online challenge mode, so you can try out some of the online features?
Yeah, and it sounds like it'll have some pretty decent replay value, for something that's just like a demo or whatever. But And they did say there's going to be an exclusive in the Wii U version, some exclusive levels or something, or world or something. So I'm glad they're doing that. And then they said that there's going to be like 30 new levels. The fact that they have more development time, they're going to have like 30 new levels and several new bosses.
So, wow, it's going to be a big game.
Yeah, I was like, I'm all for that.
So, heck yes.
Yeah. That's what they should do. More time, put in more stuff.
Mm-hmm. And the next bit of news, which kind of came out of left field, is we knew it was being worked on, is a new Batman Arkham game.
Yeah.
But the surprise that there's two of them, there's Origins for the Wii U, PS3, 360, and there's Blackgate for the 3DS.
Yeah.
Which I think will be. Hey, you guys know much about the 3DS version? I haven't read up on that.
I looked a little bit, and I found a couple screenshots, and it's basically, you guys have seen Castlevania Mirror of Fate on the 3DS, very similar to that. So it's side-scrolling, but there's a lot of depth. There's a lot of stuff happening in the background. It reminds me actually a lot of Metroid Other M, just the 2D parts, you know, when you're side-scrolling. So it looks like you can use your gadgets, your grapple hook, stuff like that. It'll be interesting to see how the gameplay works.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because with all of the Arkham games, there's kind of been like that multi-enemy combat, you know? So you're like in the middle of 10 guys, and you're just fight, fight, block, you know, that sort of a thing. So I wonder if they'll keep that, or... if it'll go back to more of the Super Nintendo side-scrolling Batman type combat, or
because they had a similar type of combat like that in the Captain America game on the 3DS, but there's a lot of just kind of just punch, 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 block, who's the next person, punch, punch, punch. So it's like it's doable. It's been done on a 3DS, and like it would be cool.
Yeah, it looked pretty cool in the screenshots, like graphics wise. I don't know if it was, you know, actual gameplay or what, but it looked like it was a cool, it would be pretty nice game. So.
And I'm very interested in origin story, because it's not necessarily Batman's origin, because I was watching the dev video. Because honestly, everyone knows how Batman started, but it's kind of like it's after, like, you know, the Dark Knight, he comes back, becomes Batman. It's how he first is introduced to all the villains. Not all the villains, but two of the villains. So it's how he's like, oh, this is so-and-so, whoever's going to be in it. Like, this Joker. I don't know if Joker's going to be in it, but it's like the first time he would meet Joker or whatever. They said something about Six Ninjas or something like that.
So it's kind of like his first time he's introduced to like a supervillain instead of like your everyday kind of thug.
Yeah. Okay.
That so sounds like that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, it's more origins of the enemies than Batman, really.
Yeah, so... It doesn't sound like they're going to talk on how he got started, because we all know how Batman started.
Yeah.
So it kind of, that story's old.
Yeah. And I wonder if it'll kind of go into, you know, it's Arkham Origins.
Mm-hmm.
But that kind of does, you know, lend itself to the origins of the people inside Arkham, you know. So I wonder if they'll go into, you know, all the villains that we've seen throughout.
But I'm excited. It's keeping the open sandbox world, because instead of walking around Arkham City, walking around Gotham City.
Yeah.
So it'd be cool to interact. And it's supposed to happen on December 24th, Christmas Eve, but they want to make the city still feel like it's alive and people are actually doing anything. So it's not just a desolate city with snow everywhere. It is actually life in the city. So I think that would be cool too.
Yeah, that would be very cool.
That was one thing about Arkham City, kind of there's times where you don't really see anything, it's just desolate, and every once in a while you see thugs beat them up and then move on to the next spot. So it'd be cool to have more life, kind of like maybe like a GTA 4 was, where there's people walking around doing things, maybe not to that extent, but at least you can tell that there's, because it's an actual city, it's not just the criminal city. So that'd be cool.
Yeah, because that was one thing in Arkham City that was, yeah, it felt kind of bare sometimes, because, yeah, it's just the same thugs in an alley, or, you know, there's lots of secrets in the city. It's pretty big, but, yeah, it'd be cool to have a real city, like you're actually Batman going through, you know, Gotham.
Mm-hmm.
So.
The next big... Well, this kind of became news, and we're going to talk about Deep Silver is not supporting the Wii U right now. Mm-hmm. You guys thoughts before I go into my thoughts?
It's sad. I like Curse Mountain. I got like the little special edition and everything, and I think they're a good little company. And I don't know. I don't think they should count the Wii U out yet. They say like they don't have like a. It doesn't support the type of fans that they want to reach, but it's like there are plenty of Nintendo fans that want these, you know, slightly mature games, and it's like they promised that there'd be like this third party support, so everyone's kind of like expecting it, you know? So it's like, why would you not want to cater to all those Nintendo fans who want maybe a slightly more mature game?
Yeah. Right. You know, what did they say exactly? Did they say, was that like not in the foreseeable future or something like that?
His exact response was, well, the question was, coming from Game Informer, so do you have next-gen plans or Wii U plans? Which that's another totally different topic. And his response is not the Wii U. With the other companies with the Wii U and the Nintendo market right now, and their audience is not who we reach best. It's not something we're entertaining in the near foreseeable future.
Yes. Yeah, that's
see, here's my only issue with it is it came out of Curse Mountain fairly early in the Wii development. We were all excited for about it. It got delayed in North America. And then finally eventually came out, I don't know how long ago, like a year later, 2 years later, forever later. And then they kind of give up on anything hardcore for the Wii, and they come out with a chess game and a ballerina game, and Winter Stars, it was supposed to be a Winter X type game, which sucked. I played it. So it's kind of like we came out with this one, we attempted with this one game, and now we just give up and go all the whole casual shovelware games.
Yeah.
You gotta give it another, you give Nintendo another chance besides that.
Yeah, because I think it wasn't all Nintendo's fault or Nintendo's audience, you know, that was, you know, to blame. So,
well, I just happened upon the game by chance, you know. It's not like I really had any advertising or any way to get the game known to people. I think possibly if it were more known, it would have sold a little better.
Well, we were excited for it. It looked really, really cool, and then they announced it for the UK, Europe region, and like, well, we have no plans right now for North America. And then by the time it came out for North America, I'd kind of just moved on, and I never really got around to playing it because I was playing other Wii games at the time.
I think I found it on Amazon for like the special edition with the metal case for like maybe 10 or 15 bucks.
Wow, nice.
Yeah, it was a nice little development CD. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. I always like when developers do that, put in some little dev stuff. That's why I'm excited about Human Revolution, the director's cut. It looks like there's going to be some cool behind-the-scenes stuff. But yeah, talking about Deep Silver and third-party support in general, it seems like... if Nintendo gets some big first-party games pushing the system, then I think third parties will have more confidence. You know, you have a big 3D Mario or Mario Kart or something like that. The Wii U sells 5-10 million after that. Then third parties are like, okay, it's not, you know, now there's 15 million Wii U's out there. So I think some developers just... I don't know. It definitely comes down to money, but some of them maybe creatively don't want to take the risk, or you know, with the Wii U gamepad. I don't know, but
And Nintendo's kind of in a tough spot in a sense that they tried with the 3DS. They try to make third party.
Yeah, they let them go first
because Nintendo knows that if they came out with a Mario Kart game right away or all this for the 3DS, it would just kind of cannibalize the market and all the other games may fall off to the wayside. So they kind of have to play this tightrope game of, all right, when are we going to release our stuff that's going to sell millions, and but it may take away from these third-party people? And they try to let that go the third party go first, the 3DS, and it really fell flat on its face. And so Nintendo had to come out with their own stuff, and now things are starting to pick up again, like Justin was saying, now that Mario Kart's out and a bunch of Mario games are out and the 3DS is selling a lot better. Mm-hmm. Now a lot more third parties come to it. So it's a weird game that Nintendo has to play with themselves and with third party members.
That's true. Balancing act.
Yeah, because if they came out with a Mario Kart game at launch and all this stuff, we'd all be playing that and not be playing Zombie U or Assassin's Creed and all this. And so you can't blame them for not coming out with a first party right away, but they need to at the same time. So it's this weird, when do they come out with it? When it's like, when's enough is enough? And be like, here, 3 months, 4 months, 6 months.
Yeah, they're in a weird limbo right now, too. Mm-hmm. It was nice that they announced, they had that press release announcing some of the third-party games, Blacklist today, mm-hmm. Disney Planes, they had a couple other ones on there. But, yeah, they're just kind of in this limbo. You can tell, we haven't had a Nintendo Direct in a while, and, you know, I and, you know, some other people were kind of expecting one by now, because it seems like it's a good point leading up to E3. Because, like, in May, you don't really want to do one because, you know, it's getting really close to E3. It's within a month, so, you know, save your big announcements for E3. But it's still early April, so, you know, I think we'll see some sort of Nintendo Direct soon. Probably won't be tomorrow, but maybe next week. But
it can very well be tomorrow.
yeah, it could very well be. And announced on a moment's notice. But
if they're watching this, I'm sure they'll decide to.
Yeah.
Film one right now.
Yeah, record it right now. Come on.
Do it.
We'll wait.
I want to go to one more thing. Then I want to come back to the Deep Silver thing. Mm-hmm. For the second year in a row, Electronic Arts has been nominated the worst company in America. Worse than Bank of America, which is the worst bank in the world. One of the worst banks in the world.
Oh, man.
How do you think they achieved this? Like, in your mind, what would give them the worst? Or do you see them as the worst? One of the worst. At least worse than the video game world. Doesn't have to be out of all companies.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's kind of like, it's like in the cartoons where the cartoon character sees a big bag of money and the eyes turn to dollar signs. I think it's a pretty well successful like company, but the problem is it's not run by people who are obsessed with games. They're more of like a business type. They don't really have like the passion there, you know. Mm-hmm. But the ones that are calling the shots, and so I don't think there's as much like love or passion there. And this is the thing about making a video game, you have to put so much of your life into it that you need that passion, you need to have that fun and creative environment. And I think when you kind of like stifle that and turn it into like the more of a cold business side, you know, it demotivates people. The product isn't as good, and you get EA.
Yeah, and I think you're right. And customers see that, you know, they're like, and you know, I think part of it too is the it's the big company syndrome. You know, when a company gets big, you know, it's you're either loved or you're hated, you know. Like, I think you think about Microsoft or you think about Apple, you know, these big companies, or even Google, you know, Google comes under fire, you know, every now and then recently, just Google's not supposed to do evil and they're, you know, whatever. But, you know, whenever a company gets that big and just gets in the public eye so much, there's always going to be people that are, you know, hating on them or whatever. But I think in EA's case, whether intentionally or unintentionally, they just say some things like in press releases or at their shows where it's just like, are they even listening to themselves? You know, because they're just talking about, oh, it's going to benefit gamers and all this stuff. And I think they just assume too much. They're like, oh, well, these microtransactions, it's actually going to benefit you. You're going to get more content because the money goes into, you know, back to us, and we can develop and spend more time adding DLC and stuff like that. So it really benefits you. And it's that kind of spin that really irks a lot of consumers, I think. You know, it's like what's going on right now with Microsoft. If Microsoft does end up having this always online or, you know, no used game thing, and they come out and try and spin it, then people are just going to be like, they'll completely shut them off. You know what I mean? They'll completely tune them out. So, you know, I think it's when companies assume what the gamers want, that's when there starts to become a problem. If companies are always trying to come from the approach of, hey, well, do you guys like this game? Would you like to see more of it? That sort of a thing. It comes off better to the consumer. They're like, oh, they're actually seeing what we like and they're taking our feedback. Where when you just, you know, take a franchise and, you know, monetize it out the wazoo, then, you know, it leaves people with less faith in them. So,
yeah. Yeah, thinking of, like, professionalism and very, like, straightforward, I was thinking about their E3 press conferences comparing EA's with Ubisoft's. Mm-hmm. EA's is very, I guess you can call it professional. It's very straight. It's very serious. It's like, here's the games. We're talking about it. Show it off. Next game. I love them because they bring in football players like Joe Montana, Clay Matthews, Ray Lewis. So that was cool to see them. But if you go to Ubisoft, which is normally afterwards, shut up, Ela. Which is normally afterwards, it's all happy going. Hey, let's have fun. Let's party. Here's our games. Woo, we're having fun. So it's got a totally different atmosphere, even between Ubisoft and EA, with their press conferences right next to each other. EA is very kind of boring in a sense. Like, they show off Crysis and Madden, but then it's kind of just, there it is, next game, there it is, next game. I'm like, mm-hmm. Ubisoft, or even Nintendo's press conferences or Microsoft's press conferences. But then going back to Sony's press conferences, they're boring to me. But it's a different topic.
Sony ones have always been boring to me.
Yeah.
They're the EA of the big three.
Okay, good.
At least Microsoft, you know, tries to do some interactive stuff in their press conferences like Nintendo does. And, you know, Nintendo always has a light heart too, or, you know, they try and add some fun. Like, you know, it may be stupid, but when Reggie did the little zombie thing, you know, or balance board, my body is ready, you know, stuff like that. It's just,
they make the effort.
Yeah, it keeps the internet memes going. So,
you know. Maybe corny, but at least it's the trying.
Yeah, exactly. Makes it fun.
Exactly. So actually, I want to jump into our main topic, which I don't think I told you guys about. Mm-hmm. But it's a lot of people, there's a lot of hate out there on Nintendo and on Iwata. Some people are asking him to sit down as president of Nintendo. But the point I want to make is, what's different, and I'm glad Eli's here, because it seems like, same thing with Apple. If people don't know, check out Mac Daddy News. Same thing with Apple is, people just love to hate Apple, and they love to hate Nintendo. Mm-hmm. For really no reason. And I bring this point up, and I'll let it to you guys, is look at the Vita's launch a year ago, February. It had a horrible launch. It sold absolutely horrible. Mm-hmm. It's still selling horrible over a year later.
Mm-hmm.
Where's people calling for the CEO of Sony's head, or saying that Sony's flopped? And the 3DS had weak 3 or 4 months, but now it's selling amazingly, and they're still calling for Iwata's head. Mm-hmm. And so I don't understand what's the difference. Why hate on Nintendo, not hate on Sony, or hate on anyone else more? And same thing with Apple, but they just done that together.
Yeah. I just think it's such a bandwagon, and this comes back to what I was saying before. You've got a big company, so there's a big bandwagon. You know, you're always, you know, if you hate on a big company, you're always going to have people that are on your side. You hit on a small company, people are like, what's your problem? You know? Mm-hmm. So it's just, they're such a big target, just like Apple. But you know, is that really going to change anything? Is, mm-hmm. you know, Iwata stepping down really going to change anything? Mm-hmm. And does anything need to be changed? Granted, you know, he apologizes for, 2 months of, you know, lack of Wii U games, you know, January and February, But if anything, that just shows a sign of more transparency, I think, with a company. And, you know, shows their honesty and, you know, that, you know, they're really trying to make these games. And, you know, that may be just, you know, us blind Nintendo fans following along. But, you know, you can see when they make their games, there's a lot of passion involved in it. You know, they don't finish a game until it's finished. But, you know, they always have good games when they come out. So, and then the fact that the DS and Wii did so well, I just don't understand calling for Iwata to step down. And the fact is, he's a former game developer. So would you rather have someone who's got business knowledge or someone who's actually made games running a company, a gaming company?
I think what it is, I was reading an article about it, and it's like true, like Iwata is like the game developer, but I think there needs to be a little bit of like a business-minded person in there. There needs to be somebody to address the issues with like the droughts that we have in games, because the article was mentioning that this has happened like the past couple of Nintendo console launches.
Yeah.
And I don't know if necessarily he should like step down, but I think maybe he should like get some kind of help somehow. Like, we need to like foster these better like work relationships between these companies, you know?
Mm-hmm. This goes back to the point we had, what someone made, possibly myself earlier. It was me. Anyways, that Nintendo is in that limbo. They can't really come out with the Wii U could have sold 400 million copies if they came out with Zelda at launch or a Mario game at launch.
Mm-hmm.
But then no one would have bought anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why they're in a very tough spot, because they make games too. Sony doesn't make games. Microsoft doesn't make games. Nintendo makes games, so they have to juggle, okay, here's our console, here's third party, here's us, what we do. And so that's why we get these droughts, because I think they get, which needs to be fixed, they get kind of tied up, but like, okay, who's coming out with what, when, where, and then they kind of just lulls and then they figure it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do need to. I think part of the solution is not necessarily coming out with big HD games every month, right? So Nintendo doesn't need to come out with a big HD, you know, super high quality game every single month, first party. Mm-hmm. But they need to do a better job of virtual console games. They're doing a great job with indie games right now. But just having a steady amount of releases. So in those droughts, you've got, you know, I don't know, several virtual console games coming out. Or, you know, something that's just churning there in the background. I mean, something that just doesn't take that much game development time. That they could have, you know, one of their, game development. You know, you've got EAD, you've got several different ones that work on the Mario and Donkey Kong games. But just have a small developer partner up with them and just, you know, have them port VC games. And that's all they do. And they just fill in the gaps between the major titles. And I don't know. It's just you need to have a good mind share. You need to have a lot of press releases and just say, hey, here we are. We got a new VC game this week. Boom. Not one, you know, multiple ones, you know. You need to have a good steady flow. So,
I think also a big thing is just a lot of people who maybe, like, hate on Nintendo, because they probably, I think a lot of it has to do with maybe having, like, nostalgia goggles on, because a lot of them probably grew up with, like, you know, the original Nintendo and the Super Nintendo, and they grew up and their tastes kind of changed a little bit. And they're upset that they can't have their Nintendo games that they grew up with and all of the maybe third-party support on Sony or Microsoft that they've also grown accustomed to.
Mm-hmm.
But at the time, Super Nintendo and like original Nintendo, there seemed to be so much like variety and different, you know, third-party companies publishing all these games. I think there's a little bit of the nostalgia goggles going on.
Yeah. And I think part of it, too, is fanboys. You have this fanboy phobia, you know? Mm-hmm. So, and I think that's why Apple and Nintendo are kind of in the same camp, because you do have Apple fanboys, you do have Nintendo fanboys. You don't really have Microsoft fanboys. You don't really have Sony. I mean, I guess there are Sony fanboys and there's Microsoft fanboys, but
real quick, why is there more fanboys? I think that's the key.
And because they're better.
that too.
Does that make sense? Yeah, but I think that's passion. Part of it. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm saying that passion. Because Steve Jobs had that passion for what he did. Iwata, Miyamoto had the passion for what we did. That's why they have fanboys. And that's why people, I think, hate on them. It's like you said, it is the fanboys, but they have the fanboys is because they care for what they do.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And they're almost, they're so passionate that they're closed-minded in a way where, you know, Apple's like, oh, we're doing what we're doing because it's the best. You know what I mean? So, and then other people looking in are like, well, it's not the best. There's other good ways to do it, you know? Same thing with Nintendo. Yeah, same thing with Nintendo. It's like, you know, they're doing their thing, and it seems like maybe they ignore other routes or maybe ignore third-party support just to do their games. Or so, you know, maybe it's part of that. But anyways, yeah, the fanboy phobia, I think that's a big thing. Because I've heard from people, the reason they don't like Nintendo is Nintendo's fans. I was like, how silly is that?
What?
Just stay off the internet and play the games.
Yeah. I was like, don't let me be your downfall, you know, us Nintendo fans.
We're cool. Yeah. Seriously.
Yeah. Once you get to know us. I don't know, it just... I don't know. It's like, why would you not want to play every game out there? Now, well, that may be a pill for me to swallow because I only own Nintendo systems. But so maybe money is the reason not to play every game out there. But, anyway, I'm going to keep ranting. So.
We're going to go on for two more points. I want to spend that whole argument that people were bringing up. People were like, you can't really count. Yeah, he had a few good years. I was saying three with the DS and Wii. And if you think about it, that was his first console. He came in right at the start of the GameCube, like 2002, and the GameCube came out in 2001. So the GameCube wasn't really his like that. He wasn't in charge of the whole start of the GameCube. His first generation was the Wii and DS. And look how successful those were. So this is his second one. Mm-hmm. And you can't call – it's like – Steve Jobs came out with the iPhone after the first one, and the second one sells 30% less, and they fire him. It's like, well, he had the first iPhone come out and did super awesome. It's the same type of concept. Mm-hmm. And he had an amazing time with the Wii. He brought in this whole new demographic. The DS is one of the top-selling systems. He had a 3DS stumble a little bit, but he turned it around. The Wii U stumbled a little bit, but it's probably turned around. I know it's selling a lot better in Europe now that Monsanto and stuff's out. Mm-hmm. It's too early. Like, if he goes on again, if it continues doing horrible in a year from now, like the Vita's doing year after launch, then you can say something.
Yeah.
But his track record proves.
Yeah. And that's why I think articles like that, it's just so premature. You know, it's like it's like people calling, you know, Nintendo doomed all the time or whatever, you know. It's just, and you know, and that's part of why articles like that bother me is, you know, was it meant just to be a sensationalist article, you know, because there's a lot of that type of journalism out there, you know. It's like, oh, let's post something that's going to be controversial, you know. Let's post something, Nintendo, what was it, Kotaku posted? Where they said, like, Wii U is not getting, Unreal Engine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you saw that, like, you know, and then there was a whole big outcry about that, and then Mark Rain said, oh, it's not that it can't do it, you know, it's just we're not planning for it right now, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, it's those types of articles where you, like, put a title, and you deliberately in the title are like, Wii U is not getting any games, or, you know, something like that.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, and you know, whether that article was written intentionally for that purpose, I don't think so. You know, I don't think, you know, that's what they were trying to do, but you'd have to be dumb not to know that would happen, you know, with mm-hmm. with people always talking about the Wii U struggling and all this, and then you write an article that says, oh, Iwata needs to be fired, you know, you can't not know that that's going to happen. So articles like that, I don't know, it just doesn't have much credibility to it. I mean, there may be some good points in the article as far as game support and lack of games throughout, but I mean, look at any other company out there. I think if you're the most critical about a company, that company is the one that's doing the best. Mm-hmm. So people are most critical about Apple. Well, maybe it's because they do a lot of things right. And the second they slip up, people are all over them. So, you know, maybe the company with the most critics is the company that's doing all the right steps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that was well said, Justin.
Yeah, really. How do we talk about that?
I was going to say, the only thing I can do is move on to the next thing.
Yeah. I wish I have these moments when I'm actually talking to some of these people that write these things. I appreciate your points. I'm not trying to.
But I can show them the videos. There you go.
Yeah.
But my next point is, I should just name this article, but I'm not going to. No. Is they talked about how Nintendo, the Wii, doesn't know what it is. Like, it's trying to be casual, but it wants to be hardcore at the same time. And I somewhat agree with it, but I don't necessarily mean it's a bad thing, because the Wii was, let's just admit it, was a casual for casual gamers. We enjoyed it. It had our moments. But they brought in this whole casual market. Why would they turn their backs on them and go all the way like a PS3 hardcore? They're trying, again, balance. Okay, we have all these casual fans. What can we do for them? But yet we need to make our hardcore fans happy and our hardcore fans happy. Mm-hmm. And so that's where they are in limbo. They are stuck. But it's not necessarily a bad thing, as some people may say. It's just the situation they created for themselves.
They're trying to find that happy medium.
Exactly.
Because think about it, when the GameCube came out, everyone was like, oh, that's not a real gamer's machine. That's just a stupid lunchbox. And so they try a different approach, you know. Maybe people aren't going to take it seriously. Let's try to appeal to a new market. And they do. It's successful and everyone likes it. And then everyone complains, oh, this is casual. This isn't a real gaming machine. It's like, okay, let's try to meet somewhere in the middle. People still aren't happy, you know.
It was so successful that it got Sony and Microsoft to change
exactly
their ideas about it. They went that way because they're like, oh, crap, there's this whole market here we can reach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guarantee you wouldn't have all those dance games without the Wii's influence.
I guess it's whenever you have a company where they kind of live and die by the sword of innovation, there's always going to be that criticism no matter what, even when it's like successful, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. I think that's the crux of it. And I mean, you know, that's another thing. I don't understand why people are so harsh on Nintendo. I mean, if we're looking at the whole medium of gaming entertainment, Nintendo is the only video game, truly only video game company left. Sony's got other, you know, interests. You know, they've got TVs, they've got Blu-ray players, they've got what have you. Same thing with Microsoft. Microsoft, you know, came into the industry, you know, later on. So they've got their own sources of income outside of it. So, you know, it's like the companies who have to be innovative are the ones criticized the most, which just seems silly, you know. The companies that are playing it safe aren't criticized for playing it safe, you know.
They just pump out more of the same, and it becomes bland over time.
Yeah.
You got to have somebody who innovates and pushes the envelope and raises new standards. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes they're going to fall flat in their face, Virtual Boy.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. That was cool for 5 minutes.
Yeah. Until you threw up everywhere.
Yeah.
Passed out.
Yeah, you gotta move forward.
Yep. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just imagine if the Wii didn't happen and they just came out with an evolution of the GameCube. It was just a super powerful, like, the PS3, 360, basically the same console. It was HD and all this. We'd have three practically same console, same thing, and it wouldn't went anywhere. We wouldn't got Kinect, which I'm actually somewhat of a fan of. We wouldn't got Move, which I'm not a fan of, but we wouldn't got any of this other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we just had three of the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what the GameCube, Xbox, PS2 generation was.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, mm-hmm. PS2 and Xbox were basically the same, you know, visually. So, and then the GameCube didn't sell that well, so Nintendo's like, okay, well, what do? We can't do the same thing as everyone else because that's not working.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Because Sony and Microsoft had all that money backing to from other revenue sources to push their systems.
Oh yeah, and that's the whole thing. You know, people are like, "Oh, well, why doesn't Nintendo sell their console at a loss? You know, like the other guys, and just count on software attachment rates and all that stuff." It's like, well, I mean, they have a lot of money, but you know, you can't live and die by that when you only make video games. You know, Microsoft and Sony can take big risks because they got big pockets. You know, I know Sony's been doing poorly the last year or so, and they've had to, you know, sell off some assets and stuff like that to recoup, but, I don't know. It's just a part of, how it goes.
So I think it's just about it. I wonder, what games have you guys been playing? That was just it.
I wish I'd been playing more games. But when I do get to play, it's Luigi's Mansion 2 and Need for Speed on the Wii U is just a lot of fun. And I think that's about it. Oh, I've been playing a little Castlevania on the 3DS, so all good stuff. All good stuff. I need to pick up Monster Hunter and play some more of that. So.
Alex,
I've been playing Luigi's Mansion 2 as well, and the new Pokemon Mystery Dungeon, which I recently reviewed. Been having a lot of fun with that.
Thanks.
And need to get Lego City for the Wii U. I saw the J-Money posted a little like kind of interview they did with one of the developers and the. I guess he was like a producer or something, and it made me really want to play the game. This looked like a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. The humor's great. It's the only thing that I think they should change is the load times. I don't know what they can do to improve it, but the load times are pretty rough. And I think it was – I didn't notice the load times personally, but I was showing my niece and nephew – and they would see the loading badge that spins around, and they're like, "Let's play something else," you know. And they're like, and it was funny because I mean, it was funny and terrible. But then, like, you go into another building, so like, let's say you've played around in the city, and then you go into the police station. And I think one time, like, I forgot to get something, so I went outside, so it loaded the world to go outside. Got in the car, and I was like, "Oh, we were supposed to grab something." So I go back into the police station, and then it starts loading again. And then Ethan, my nephew, was like, "Not again!" You know, because he sees just the loading spinner. You know? And I was yeah, that is pretty bad.
Well, you see, that was actually a really clever design choice. You were actually supposed to pull out your Legos during the load scenes. Wow. So you can build your Lego City models.
Yeah. that would have been nice if they had that.
The whole game is just right there, you know?
Yeah. Get out and play with your Legos now.
Yeah.
I just thought that was funny.
Eli, what have you been playing?
Well, I've been kind of busy the past week or week and a half, but I need to start playing some more Need for Speed. But I have been. I know I'm a little late to this, but I have been playing a lot of Mutant Muds.
Nice.
Which version of it?
That game is very challenging, but so much fun.
Yeah.
What'd you get it on?
Huh?
What'd you get it on? The 3DS?
On the 3DS.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's actually dumbed down for the iOS, which I think sucks.
Yeah, I haven't tried it out for iOS.
It has like save points like halfway through the level, and it's like, no.
That doesn't make it challenging. Yeah. That's part of what I love about it. It's so addicting, and just like sometimes it's so tough.
Yeah, the 3DS one's the definitive one. Pretty sweet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to jump on that bandwagon then. Yeah. I've heard so much good things about it from all of you. I need to play it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, the Wii U one will probably be cool, but the 3D, I mean, the 3DS version is great.
Yeah, with the three layered parts of the level, like the 3Ds is perfect for it.
Oh, yeah. So.
Mm-hmm. I've been very ADD with my video game playing because I'm so far behind on everything. Like, 2 weeks ago, I started playing Bioshock. And then this last weekend, I put it away. I was like, I'm going to play a bunch of Wii U games. So I play a little bit of Need for Speed, play a little bit of Assassin's Creed, play a little bit of Zombie U. And it's like,
a little bit of everything. Nice.
Talking about behind, I'm just now discovering the Google Street View thing on the Wii U.
Oh, yeah.
I had like a whole evening where I downloaded that and I was like playing it. So I was like, huh, I'm looking at the Eiffel Tower. This is cool.
Did you guys go to North Stonehenge? Huh? Did you guys go to North Pole? They got a North Pole tour.
Really?
And so some poor Google employee took that backpack to the North Pole. It's really like
parka and everything.
He walks, you see the pole's flag all around, and he walks through it, walks back, and that's it. Carries that whole thing over there.
Just a sign that says this is too cold to go any further.
Nice.
That's cool. You go into like the White House and walk around.
Yeah.
I was just like, man, this is really neat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even have to leave my house anymore. This is great.
Seriously, just take a vacation in my living room.
Yeah.
I think that's one of those apps that will be really fun to show people who are maybe not primarily gamers, but if you show them something like that, they're going to be like, oh, this is really cool. Let's gather around the couch. And like, oh, can you go here? Oh, yeah, let me type it in.
Yeah.
I think that's what they're talking about, being like the ultimate living room machine. They're trying to add a little bit of everything so you can get the people who don't play games to come in and be like, oh, well, show me a little bit more of that. That's really neat.
Yeah. Well, yeah, already I've done that a lot with my family and Katie's family. You know, it's like, oh yeah, let's see if we can go there. Or, you know, they have like those top spots in the app, and so you can go there, but then it's full street view. So wherever they've been, they've, you know, and yeah, I didn't realize this. I remember checking street view when it first came out, and it was in like five cities, but, man, it's just like everywhere now. So I mean, you can just like go down any street, you know. So you can go to these, you know, landmarks, and then it's like, oh, I can literally just cruise around this landmark, see what's around. So very cool
stuff. And I went to our old university, and I swear I saw Ela's car parked in the front of the hall.
Really? Because I've been looking for my car everywhere on there, but I didn't think about it.
I think it's there.
It was
2006, so you had a BMW, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's in front of Wright Hall. It's 2006, and it's 2009 in front of the Strip Beat.
Okay. Man. Let's check it out.
So cool. Like, you see this, like, it looks kind of grainy, but it looks like it could be a car up there. Because it's during the summer, so there's no other cars. So you can see all the way.
I haven't checked in a while, but you used to be able to see my 4Runner from the satellite view on Google at one of my old apartments.
Awesome.
Well, I guess that's it for now. We'll see you guys 2 weeks from today. Thanks for joining us.
See you guys.
See ya.